In our gospel today, Jesus tells the Pharisees a story. Notice I didn't say a story about, because what the story is about depends on your perspective. Is it a story about a rich man? Is it a story about Lazarus? Or could it be a story about something or someone else? Let's start with the rich man, shall we? The unnamed rich man is surrounded by all the material comforts that he could need, and also everything he could want. The finest clothes, the richest food, the most delicious drink. I'm sure he has the greatest chariot in all of the land. He has it all. And at his door is Lazarus, a poor, hungry, thirsty, sore-ridden soul. And the story is heightened when Lazarus comes to the rich man, and the rich man sees him and knows he's deprived of the most basic human needs. But after both have died, the rich man asks Abraham, "Send Lazarus to comfort him," because he knows the name of the man who sat at his door and the one he chose to ignore. And Abraham shows no pity on the man. By contrast, seeing this story from the perspective of the poor man, Lazarus offers something that is hard to understand. The rich man's decisions to ignore. You see, Lazarus is missing the most basic human needs. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He's looking for shelter and clothing. And he doesn't even ask the rich man for food. He asks for the scraps that fall upon the floor. And the fact that the dogs lick his sores tell us that the dogs care for Lazarus more than the rich man does. Lazarus is meek. He receives what comes his way, and he is received into heaven. So who's the story about? Oh, you didn't study for this test? We got the rich man. We got Lazarus. Perhaps the story is about us, each and every one of us. Because sometimes in our life, we have been Lazarus, full of life, full of everything we could need. And sometimes in life, we have been like Lazarus, needing the most basic things on earth. The highest of mountains, the lowest of valleys. And at the end, when they both die, they kind of switch places. Lazarus is in heaven. The rich man is in Hades, suffering. In this story, as in others that Jesus tells, the basic foundation is, who is our neighbor? That's fundamental and a key to who we are as Christians. And the gospel is clear. We're all neighbors, regardless of our stature in life, regardless of our bank account, the clothes we wear, the car we drive. Do we have a car? All are equal in the sight of God. And as an aside, we had a funeral here this past week. God rest Julie McBride's soul. And is the tradition in the Episcopal Church, we had one setting of flowers. I know you've seen many, many flowers before at a funeral. Well, as an Episcopalian, we believe that in the sight of God, we are all equal. Whether you're the Queen of England or the President of the United States, whether you are the lowest of the low, and have nothing for yourself. In the eyes of God, we are all equal. We are all neighbors. Now, we may worship God in many ways, but our worship must be followed by action. Action in love for each other, for those that we don't know. As I was waiting to process in, I saw people holding the door for those coming in out of the rain, helping Joanne clean her wheelchair because she was in the mud. That's what neighbors do, is help others. And of course, there were some that sat back and didn't help. But we're not talking about them today. We're talking about those who want to help, those who are willing to help in many ways, the small ways, the ways that are not projected across a TV screen, things we do for family, and actions that we take to help our neighbor. What does Abraham say to the rich man? If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. God, I hope we can focus on the fact that someone did rise from the dead. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us use him as a guide for how we live our life. Take up the calling. Embrace it. Love our neighbor. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.